I'll be a living, will you? Sanctuary for you. Sing it unto him now. Oh Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary. Amen. Amen. That's your desire, to be a sanctuary for the Lord. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see everybody with us. Glad to have our visitors back there with us. Our brother Jim Wilson. I'll write that down where I can remember it, because I can't remember names. But glad to have him and the people that's with him. They're up here at Helen and come down to visit with us. So we always say to you, when you come one time here, you're a visitor. When you come two times, you're just part of us. Because we don't have anything to join or anything like that. We're just part of the body of Christ. But we're glad to have them with us today and ask them to just worship the Lord and have a good time in Him. And just pray that the Lord would bless and guide each one. Now, I know you've already mentioned it, but Wade is over in, our son's over in Oklahoma preaching today. So remember them. They'll be coming back tomorrow. And also remember now that the Bible study that was on the first Saturday, we had to move it to the second one this month because of waiting and being gone. But the Bible study will be this coming Saturday at 6 o'clock here at the church. So remember that and just come and fellowship together. Now, the fellowship meeting, I got all of these notes wrote down where I won't forget. The fellowship meeting will be at Brother Lee Garland's on the third Saturday of this month. It's 3:30, as we always have. Now, if you need a ride, make sure you let us know, you know, ahead of time and all, where we can all get together and ride together to the fellowship meeting and all like that. And also, now, we need to know for certain today how many are going to be going to the Alabama Youth Camp, you know, the meeting there, and we need to know for certain, you know, to get everything together to where the traveling and the things, to where that, you know, there won't be any problems. So, and the staying, the nights, and the things like that. So please see Boyd or some of them today and get this all together, children and all. Now, adults, there's some adults going, we know, and we've got to make sure to have a place. So if you're going, do that. And I don't know, Janet, she's downstairs. Are you going to practice this afternoon? Okay, this afternoon, after the evening service, you will be practicing, because the church here would be putting on a kind of a program for them there about the prodigal son and the return, because that's the basis of it. So remember that immediately after the evening service to meet downstairs in the back room. Amen. If I missed anything, I always do, and fail to announce it, but just remember that. If you'd like turning your scriptures, turn to Revelation 13. We'll just read one verse there and then go to Luke 10. Revelations 13 and Luke 10. We had a wonderful time yesterday down at the a nursing home with Brother Don. He seemed to be really in good spirits and everything, patting his foot. And I tried to get him to get up there and let Brother Aaron or one or the other of them, Brother Gary or some of them, you know, chord for him and let him play, because he can really play. But he can't do it now with a stroke in the left side. But, you know, he seemed to be real good. We had a real good attendance. I think it were 14 from here that went. And we had a good time, you know, servicing and that to the needs of the people and praying for a lot of the elderly people that were there, because they keep raising their hand. They want to be prayed for. And we try to pray for them, you know, and be with them and all. So just remember that. Remember these, that Brother Joe is going. And if you want to go with him, he'd be tickled to death to get somebody go along, help him, you know, because that's part. I think this coming Saturday will be one, right, Brother Joe? This coming Saturday? Are you off this Saturday? Okay. We have to keep up with what's going. But this, you know, if you want to go along with him, it's a good time to worship and fellowship a little bit with those elderly people in the nursing home. It does real good. And we appreciate Brother Joe doing what he's doing. All right, let's pray before we read Revelation 13, Luke 10. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to gather together this morning, Lord, and to be able to take a little time out from life and all, to set aside a day that we can come. And it's not just a day, because we worship you in every day in our hearts and our spirits and all, but now we can come together and fellowship together around the word of the hour that has been given unto us. And we know your presence will be with us, and we thank you. We ask you to just guide each one. Remember those that are not here. Remember Wade and them traveling back tomorrow. Remember the many that are sick among us. And remember Brother and Sister Tatum, Lord. Remember Brother Don there, Lord. And just bless each one, and let your love be made manifest in our hearts. As we read your word, you come and speak to us about it. We commit it to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Very familiar scripture with us, but just to try to get a point of what I want to bring, then we'll go from Revelations 13:8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now we'll go to Luke 10. Luke 10. Might seem like odd scriptures, but maybe you'll get to point when we get to it. And I'll, you can go ahead and give those out. Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. Now, that's something. Nothing can't hurt you and all like that, but don't rejoice in that now. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Now, let's go on and read the next verse. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. You know? As I say, it'll take a little time to get to where you'll see the connection of why we're using the scriptures there that we're using. But for some time I've been speaking about where we won't leave our visitors in the background. I spoke on a series, because I'm kind of slow and a little countrified and little old Georgia country boy, you know, that's kind of slow. So that way, it takes me time to get to what I want to say, but I'll try my best to. But we've been talking about something and it started on a series called The Law of Magnetism, that I was running a series on magnets, and it would sound odd to think about magnets, knowing that in the world of what we have, but in the natural law of magnets, you know, magnetism, magnets that you have, likes repel, dislikes attract. You know, that's where a magnet works. You stick it to something. You take the two little puppy dogs we used to play with as kids, you know, our little magnets, you know, and you'd stick them to each other and they'd connect, because that was the different, you know, an attraction. But you turn it around and you could push the little dog everywhere with it, you know, because it was a magnet. But what I wanted you to see, that in the spiritual realm, see, in the realm of God's word, the kingdom, in salvation, that likes attract and dislikes, see, they repel. So now you know the difference in what I'm saying. See, that in the natural law out here, it's always that the dislikes attract, you know, the negative, the positive, and that. But in the spiritual realm, see, once you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the new birth, then that Holy Ghost draws you unto God. And that doesn't make you a negative and God a positive. That makes in your soul, by the new birth, you have the positive of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right? See, now it's called an earnest in the Bible. See? So then the prophet, in speaking of partial realization, comparing it to perfect realization. All right? And then that way, then, see, likes is what draws each other. The Holy Ghost is drawing you. He's not pushing you. He's not behind you pushing you or shoving you. He's drawing you. The prophet said one day that great headstone would come and strike the church and said the bride will flee to that headstone because she's magnetized to it. Because, see, the day you got the new birth, you became magnetized to the Holy Ghost. And like I showed you with a magnet, you can take paper clips and stick a magnet on it, and it'll just draw two or three of those paper clips. You can move them because each paper clip become a magnet within itself once it was connected to the main magnet. But you break it, it's no good because it's not in the form of magnetized metal. But see, in God, the Holy Ghost can never be broken, so He's always pulling us.
Amen.
And He's drawing us to the positive.
All right?
See, then we have nothing, as I gave you quotes from the prophet, that there's nothing in Christianity that's negative.
Right.
Now, sure, we're body and spirit. We have problems with it. Okay, we're all right there. We have troubles with our body and spirit. But in our soul, there's nothing negative once you're born again.
Right.
All right? Because, see, that's a positive that's pulling you. And the prophet said on Hear Ye Him, I gave it to you last week, that there's not anything negative at all. Everything's positive in Christianity. We should have a positive, and that's been the title of the message last Sunday afternoon, and I'm going to continue this on in a series called Positive Attitude.
Right.
I mean, we spoke last week of a positive attitude. Now, this is positive attitude number one. Now, we always give a subtitle to the visitors because I'm kind of slow, and as I said, and if you want to call it a teacher style of ministry, that's what I do. I just grind slowly, slowly, slowly until, you know, I get to my point. And sometimes I grind so slow, the point's lost before I get there, but I do the best I can and try to review a lot. And you'll hear me review, if you ever hear me, you'll hear me review the previous sermon because I want everything to tie together to where we can see it. All right. See, then Brother Branham said on a position of a believer in Christ that the only way you can get positive faith is to have positive thinking. You won't get positive faith without positive thinking. See? So be positive in what you're thinking. Don't let a negative, the prophet said, don't let a negative thought come into your mind. Don't do it. Don't let a negative thought. Sure, we have them. We're human. Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are. Sure, we can't help the bombardment of Satan. It is not a sin for a thought to come in your mind. It is a sin when you entertain the thought and let that become a part of you, see. You can't help thinking wrong, especially the way the world is today, and seeing because, you know, everywhere you turn, there's naked women running around and men too, you know, as far as everything and all. And you can't help what you see, but you can help entertaining what you see. So keep a positive attitude, you know, about things. Don't have a negative point. See, when the devil comes and tries to tell you something, say, but the Word says. Well, you're sick, but the Word says. The doctor said it. You know, you've been to specialists. You've been everywhere. And we believe in going to doctors. Thank God for them. But we know who the healer is. All right? Now, so then, but when the doctor, he said, like he told me, I'll take your kneecap off many, many years ago, probably close to 30 years ago. And one told me I had crippling arthritis, and I laughed at him. I said, I got an irritated kneecap. He said, well, I'll take that off. I said, no, you won't. Well, I still have my kneecap because I told him it right to his face. I said, you're not taking my kneecap off. You know, see, I had a positive attitude. Well, I heard after then. But that don't have anything to do with it. It's what God says. Now, that's what I want you to try to get a point to us today on what we're thinking about. See? Is in God there's nothing negative. All things are positive. So the law of natural magnetism has to break away. And like I said about Peter, when Jesus said, Peter said, if that be thee, bid me come. Now there was one that was walking on water. But he said, Peter said, if that be thee, bid me come. In other words, put under my feet what's under your feet, I'll walk out there. So he walked right out to him, didn't he? See, we always dwell on the, but he failed. But now, as remember, the one that told him to walk out picked him up and put him in the boat. So let's keep everything on the positive attitude, because he did get to the boat. But see, that way, then there's nothing negative. But we read the Bible, as we were using there the other day, that in God there's nothing impossible. But the same Bible says there's nothing impossible to them that believe. Well, now there's the positive attitude. That's the point we need to keep, is to where that we can say, in my soul, I have eternal life. And don't worry about it. You go confess positive, the devil's going to pound you to death with everything negative he can do. He's going to make you to where that you'll wonder about what you really got. But that's what he's supposed to do. But the prophet said the bride was here to prove to Satan, I think this is God of this evil age, said he's here to prove to Satan that this bride won't fall like Eve fell. Now, what was wrong with Eve? She took a negative attitude. Now look at her attitude. It's pretty positive in a lot of respects, but yet it was still negative because it was off of God's word. She quoted the word to the serpent. But yet she listened to the serpent until it took that she had positively stated. We can eat of all the trees but the one tree. We're supposed to leave it alone. But he wound up, took that right there, and he got her to reason upon the word until when the reasoning factor came, she took a negative attitude. And when she did, sin came into being. So then we ought to know what sin is today. Sin is not smoking, drinking, gambling, running around with women, the prophet said. What is sin? Unbelief. Unbelief. All right. Now, a true believer don't do those things. Unbelief, though, we have trouble with the word. Now, don't tell me that you can read the Bible and believe everything it says immediately. Right. I'm just honest enough to tell you I don't. Right. It has to be revealed to me. Right. All right. Now, I believe what it says is true. Don't misunderstand me. Right. But I want that revealed to me, because I can't walk on word that is not revealed.
Right.
I can't do it. I can't walk on that, see, because it'll collapse underneath me, because it's only natural words. And natural words deals in the realms of negativism. But you see, what my point I've been trying to get you to see is, the Bible, and we'll get back into some more today, says we're resurrected sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus by the new birth. So the law of magnetism has done been broken. Our soul is already redeemed. It's done broken all natural laws. What we need to work on is the body and the spirit. And the body's no problem. It's the spirit that's the problem. Because the body is without the spirit dwelling and making it, the body can't do anything. You can prove that by tapping somebody, get hit in the head, and their whole body's paralyzed. Well, they can think about all they can do, but they can't do it. Because that body's no problem. It's that spirit realm that we're dwelling in. All right, now listen. Then by the new birth, we come into a positive attitude. By the new birth, we come into a positive attitude. To where that we, as we'll get to it later, we count all things. We count all things as not even existing by the new birth now. I'm not talking about our body and spirit, because we're still hindered every day, you know, beat on and problem. But in the Holy Ghost, there's nothing negative. It's positive, pulling positive until we come to the place that we'll walk off the earth. Because, now listen, I believe, and this is just a belief now, I believe that's how they made the pyramids and things. They broke the law of gravity some way.
Right?
See, some way they broke the law of gravity and was able to move those thousands and thousands of tons of stone things, because they could do that. Well, they'd done it a long time ago. Down at the university in Georgia there, Georgia Tech, one of them, they took lasers and coated a ball with stuff that wouldn't deteriorate from the laser, and they could move it anywhere they wanted to. They've done proven those things that can take place. But see, what I'm looking at is the fact that someday gravity's got to break for these. And even somebody now like And I'm not throwing no stones at anybody, but like Benny Hinn, walk off the platform out into midair. That wasn't hocus pocus. Something happened. He might even not even be a believer. There's one thing about it. He believed enough. Until it went out there. The prophet talking about these people walking up on coals or hot fire and stuff like that. Never burn them whatsoever. But now the thing about it is, if that can happen for them, I'm not trying to walk on coals, and I'm not trying to walk out into mid-air. I told you a long time ago, I stopped trying to go to heaven. Now that needs to be explained, then, especially to the visitor. Because I believe heaven's coming here. That's according to the prophet now. He said, you'll turn around. He said, heaven's just 20 feet away or something in a slant. He said, you just turn around right here. Another dimension, you just switch around. And Einstein said you could push one object through another object in the fourth dimension and never leave a hole. That was his teaching. Because of the speed that could be done. All right, but now let's go on to what I'm talking about. We have the partial realization of our inheritance. The new birth is a partial inheritance given unto you. It's the down payment, we call it. Well, all right, you go down, you buy a home. You put down $10,000 on buying a home. Well, when you finish paying for that, you're paying the same monetary system of money when you finish the life payment. See, the first is a partial, the other is a complete, but it's all still monetary money system paying for something, you know. All right. And there's no difference between the earnest and the fullness. There's no difference between the cornerstone at faith and the headstone at love, except for the position that is placed within to draw us. Because it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. We're built on the foundation of apostle, prophet, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. But who's the headstone? Jesus Christ, the revealed word. That's why I believe this end time message is the revealed word. The word that it is Christ, and I believe Christ did descend there in 1963, not in what everybody's teaching about it or their way, but I believe the word came in 63. See? Through the mouth of a prophet. And that was the descending of God. See? And then we need to have now, we need to have a positive attitude. See? Now, you remember the lice that we covered in 2 Corinthians 1:20 there, where it talks about Paul speaking right above there, where he says that in me it's yea and nay. He said, to you, I speak yea and nay. You know why? Because I'm not God. I can say something to you and I can't keep my word because something goes wrong and I can't do it. So that's yea and nay. But he said, not so in God in the 20th verse when he said, for all the promises of God in him are yea and in him, amen. Now there's no yea and nay with God. It's all totally yea, 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 yea. Meaning, get up and go. There's something pushing us, you know. Or not pushing us, pulling us. All right. There's no way. Now, what's the point now? I'm going to try to change over in the message now to where we can go on. See, in God, there's no way that he can break his word. Now, I want that to sink in. In God. Now you and I can break our word because it's yea and nay, see. But now, in him, see, there's no way. Everything is yea and amen, meaning so be it, that's finished. Huh? And he can't break his word because if he broke his word, changed his word, didn't keep his word, then he wouldn't be God. Is that good enough? Is that an answer? He wouldn't be God. We should think of that way. All right? Now, his word is him. Now listen, his word is him. God is his word. All right. Now, just as his thoughts are him, and his thoughts are eternal. Now, that doesn't make everything he thinks of eternal. He thought of Judas Iscariot coming into the world. He thought of Adolf Hitler, etc., people, you know, that we know will be in hell because of their situations they went. Now, but the thought he had of them could never be changed. He didn't predestinate by his own desires, you know. Because he desired that everybody be saved, the Bible says. But he predestinated according to his foreknowledge.
That's right.
He foresaw So he knew Judas would be what he would be.
That's right.
All right? Now, all right, then doing that now, see, his thoughts are eternal.
Right.
Now, the letter of God's word, this Bible I'm holding up, can be burnt.
That's right.
But you can't burn God's word because it is not letters on a page.
That's right.
The Bible is written about people. Come on, the Bible is written about people who live upon the earth. That's why it says in Revelation 13:8, see, whose names were not written in the book of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, once God saw that, and once that was spoken to be put in the Word, it was settled.
Right.
Now, that didn't mean it was, I'll get to it in a minute now, that didn't mean it was finished or anything like we think of the human natural things. But as far as God was concerned, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world to cover for sin, like I've tried to explain to you. One split second without God as an atonement would be death, right? You agree? All
right,
what about Adam and Eve in the garden when they sinned? What kept God from destroying them until the time that he could make the atonement for them? It was his mind before the world that he'd already saw the Lamb slain. Alright? You get it? Already before the world he saw the Lamb slain. Right? Now, but that had to come into a time to be made manifest or it was not God's Word. Now I'm trying to bring it to a positive attitude now for us to see. Alright? Because God's Word, the prophet said, 149 Church Age Book, the thoughts of God are eternal. The Word of God is eternal. He cannot never have another thought, the prophet says, contrary to that thought. See, that's why Paul could come there in Galatians and say that even if an angel from heaven come and speak any other thing than what I have brought to you, let him be accursed. Why? Because it would be God changing his mind. Do you understand? It would be God changing his word. Brother Brown said, even if I come back and bring you something different, or an angel coming out of heaven to say something different than what I've said already, let him be accursed. Because that's where it's at now, alright? He can't bring something different. No matter what you think about new thoughts. You know. But see, God doesn't bring new thoughts. His thoughts are eternal.
Right.
He delivers them to you and I.
Right.
Brings them to you and I. Reveals them to you and I. Amen. And those things become new thoughts. Yeah. But yet, there was nothing new in him. See, when Paul said that about, you know, the prophet said that it was a make-believe gospel is what people were trying to come up with. That's why he could say what he did about let them be accursed. He said, that was not another gospel. That was a make-believe gospel. Right? No matter who it is, see, our thoughts are not eternal. But God's thoughts are eternal.
Right.
His word is eternal.
Right.
You can say, well, but now, Brother Dale, Paul brought something and we got furtherment, you know, we got something better. I'll go along with you if you know what you're talking about. I believe this prophet's end time message brought to us the greater revelation of the Word of God.
Right.
I believe that. But it couldn't be contrary.
That's right.
It couldn't be something different.
That's right. Right.
Brother Branham couldn't add anything to what Paul said.
That's right.
If he did, he would have been accursed.
Right.
He said, well, the seals, I agree with you. I know the seals had not been preached by Paul. I agree with that. I believe it. But it couldn't be something contrary.
That's right. Amen.
Paul couldn't bring one God, and Brother Branham bring two.
That's right.
See, there's no such thing. He couldn't bring anything different. It was furtherment on the same, because that's what Jesus told him. He said, when the Holy Ghost has come, he'll bring to your remembrance whatsoever I have said,
right,
and teach you things to come. The prophet in the Church Age book said he brought him a further revelation upon the Word. That's true. We believe that. Because Peter said, I was standing on the mountain. But when he gets over there and Peter writing, he said, I got a more sure word of prophecy.
Right.
Something was brought more real, but it wasn't brought something different.
Right.
Because if you do, you're adding to the word.
Right.
Brother Brown's message couldn't be something different than what the Bible had said.
Right.
It couldn't be added revelation as people are trying to bring today, of even trying to tell you what Brother Branham said. But you know how that is. That's all right. I have no problems with that. But now listen. See, then if God's word is eternal, now just to read it is not meaning that it's revealed.
That's right.
Are you following me?
Right.
Just because you read the Bible doesn't mean it's revealed.
Right.
See? All right, what you're reading, now listen to what I'm saying. You'll think it was contrary to what I said a minute ago, but listen. To just read the Word of God, we look at the Bible and we look at it as yea and nay.
Right.
We look at it as yea and nay.
Amen.
Because we do not know what it's saying.
Amen.
We know what it's saying by the hearing of the ear. We know what it's saying by the reading of natural knowledge.
Amen.
But we do not know what it is saying until it's revealed. When it's revealed at all, we look at it then and saying that's totally yay and amen.
Right.
But only when it's revealed.
Right.
You remember when you used to believe in the Trinity?
Come on.
Right. I mean, you swore to it, didn't you?
Yes.
You argued with it, you know, with people about it. But yet when it was revealed to you.
Right.
All right. Now when it's revealed, see, now you're at another point now. All right. Now, this is the background for a message, a couple of services down the road. See, God in the Bible to Abraham swore that he would do what he would do. Now God swore. And the Bible said he couldn't swear by none greater because there is none greater. But he took an oath. He took an oath. All right. Now watch how sure we should believe God's word and not question it. Because if God would think enough to Abraham to swear, that's a double thing. In other words, he said it and then he swore. All right. See, that's two things, because that's what we're dealing in now. That's the title of the message. All right? But now watch. Do we really believe the Word? Let's go to Hebrews 6 just for a minute. Do we really believe what the Word says? Let's just read what Paul said here about what was speaking to Abraham. Hebrews 6, verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. In other words, he, as we say it in our human south, he swore by himself. What's saying? Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, talking about Abraham, he obtained the promise.
Amen.
For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath of confirmation is to them an end of all strife. All right.
Amen.
Now, God swore. He didn't have to. Okay. But he swore by himself. He took an oath upon his own word that he would keep his word. How much more sure should we think of God's word that God cannot change his mind? His word is eternal, but then he turns around and swears. Now, do we believe we're the seed of Abraham by faith? All right. Now, you remember what I tried to speak of a week or so ago or something? The way I read the Bible. Yeah. The way I read the Bible is like this. I read the Bible to find out who it's talking to or about. So you say, well, that promise was made to Abraham. See, now you're annihilating yourself. Because the promise was made to Abraham and his seed, singular, not seeds, his seed singular, which was Christ.
Amen.
Isaac was just a natural type coming in. It's the seed that he was swearing to, and unto thy seed. Now, when I read about Abraham then, I read about, okay, the promise was made to Abraham.
Right.
That's the way I read it. I read the same way like the journey of Israel and the goods and the bad.
Right.
You know, when I read the Bible, I look at who's it talking to or about.
Right.
Then I do as the prophet said, if you don't see Christ in every verse of the Bible, he said, go back and read it again.
Right.
Because you've missed something. All right? Now, so that's number two. Number one, I look to see who it's talking about, or to. Well, that was Abraham. Then I see that the seed is promised, Galatians 3:16, and unto thy seed, which is Christ. All right? See, then I see Christ in that.
That's right.
So now, you understand what I'm saying? I read it to see who it's talking about, then I see Christ. Then I see myself. Most everybody wants to just read the Bible as talking about what it's saying about somebody else.
Right.
Well, then the other side of the picture is they read the Bible saying, that's to me, that's to me, that's to me. But they don't read of the natural to where that they can see the Christ coming in the spiritual, and then it comes to a revelation.
Amen. Right.
See, to me, that's the only way it can be revealed.
That's right.
Is to see what it's talking about literally, then find the Christ that's in there, the promise, and then let that Christ come out of there, and then I can read that, that surely he swore to me.
That's right.
Hmm? Now, he swore to me. That in blessing I'll bless thee. In multiplying I'll multiply thee. He swore that to me. See,
right.
Now I'm reading the Bible the way it's supposed to be. That's what the prophet is talking about when he says read between the lines. Reading between the lines is not to find something between the lines. It's not written on the lines. He said, well, I'm reading between the lines, and it says here that hell is eternal. No, that's not. That's not between the lines. Because you can't even find that on the line. See? So how would it work out? All right, so you following me then? See, then, as I said about Paul, he said, let him be accursed if he brings anything else. So then what we've got to do is take God's word.
Amen.
And stand up on God's word, and we don't have to worry about it.
That's right.
We don't have to worry about it. We'll see that he's talking about us.
Amen.
See, he swore to me. The Bible said back there, said, you'll be there with your offspring. I claim that scripture. That doesn't automatically give my children eternal life. But there's one thing about it. It puts the Lord after them on one side and the devil on the other. And they will come. Because I believe it. Because the prophet said, if you can't have faith for somebody else, he said, I doubt you having faith for yourself. Now, so that's the way we ought to claim our children. Claim those children and believe it. It don't matter what they're, but look how bad they're doing. Look what they're doing. Don't worry about that. God's not looking at that, and we shouldn't look at that. If we look at what's taking place around us, that's negativism. Look at the positive. I don't make it as a joke, but it's like that lady said about it, said, even the devil's a good devil. You know, I mean, at least she's positive about that thought. But see, church, what we need to do is get down to believing God's word.
Amen.
All right? Now, what's the point? Two things. Now, I'm not talking about does it reveal it, you know, and all like that. I'm not talking about that now. I'm talking about something that I want you to look at. Two things. See, when God thinks something before the world, when God thought of something, he can never have another thought. You agree? All right. Now, when he spoke that, That's not another God. God and His Word are one. His thoughts were transmitted through the mouth to bring it out into what we call words. All right. Now then think what I'm saying now. First, God thinks about something. And when He thinks it, He speaks it. All right, as far as God is concerned, that's done. Now, you remember the message of the week, I was trying to get you to see it, that in all, and we'll get to it the last of the message or this evening one, where that God always speaks in a present tense, but a present tense word of God is already complete. Those who He justified, He hath already glorified. Now, when God speaks something, it's already there. So that's why He wouldn't kill Adam and Eve, as I said a moment ago. When sin entered the picture, the atonement was already made. As real as it was when Jesus Christ died. But now the reason I read Revelation 13, to show you that the book of life, the Lamb's book of life, was written before the foundation of the world. All right. Now, then we read about Luke, where Jesus was speaking about, don't glory because that, you know, the spirits are subject to you and all, but glory because your name is written in heaven. Now, we know Judas's name was written there, but was taken out. We know the story. But now, there's a bride that her name was written there that will never be taken out. All right? Now, see, then that puts it to a point that I want you to see. When God thinks of something, it's a finished product. He can never have another thought. So when He thought of the lamb being slain, as far as He's concerned, that's done. God is not like me and you that has to think every day of what to do and whatever's going, you know. And that gets me sick when people say, well, how did God, you know, Trinitarians say, how did God run the world if y'all believe Jesus was God and Him a little baby? How did He run the world? Now, that's something, man. I mean, simple answer. All He had to do was speak it before the world and it kept running. That's enough. But, I mean, that's being, see, people try to be silly about God's Word. You know, there's no need of being silly about it. No need of arguing about it. Brother David back there said his wife wanted me to talk to a man that's a big thing on against Brother Brown's message. I'm talking about the name of Carr or something that's really against Brother Brown's message. I told him I'd talk to him anytime. But I said, you tell her up front, I ain't arguing with him. I ain't arguing with nobody about nothing. I state my facts and I ain't going to argue. I will listen, but I ain't going to argue. All right. But now listen. Now get what I'm talking about. Two things. When God speaks it, it's as good as finished. Because it is finished. Now, if He can't change it, it's finished. But now there's a time on earth when reality does not show that as a finished product. Because the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, just because the animal was slain to cover for Adam and Eve, was not that atonement to be made. It was not on earth. So you get the thing what I'm saying? In heaven, in God's thinking, all things are positive and all things are finished. But we must have a human element upon the earth. See, the fact that He did see Jesus Christ die as a lamb before the world meant that Jesus Christ would have to come and die.
That's right.
Right? All right, now there's the two simple things I'm talking about. See, first He says it, and then what He says must come to pass. All right. Because now, if He said it, it will come to pass. Now, what we think He said don't have to come to pass. Because it might not be what He said. All right. Like Brother Brown said, he said, I can take the Bible and say, Judas went and hung himself, and you do likewise. But see, that's not what the Bible says. Right? That's what the letters on the page is saying. The letters on the page, you pull them together and make them say things. They've got all this secret stuff now that they found words in between words and under words and behind words and, you know, make the Bible in this and the Bible in that. What do you need that for? What you need is a revelation in your heart of who Jesus Christ is. See, then he'll take care of the rest of the words, right? Now watch then. See, when it was first spoken, it was necessary that he die. But it didn't mean that he was dead. It meant as far as God was concerned. Right. Now, before the world, the Lamb's Book of Life was written, which is the Word of God. All right. Now, the prophet said there's only names in that book. But now watch what he said. He said it's the Bible. So really, you know, the Bible is just a book of names. As I was bringing there a moment ago, what is it? It's a book of names. Moses. Abraham. Joshua. Right? Peter, James, John. It's a book of names. But then there's a natural record of what's taking place while that name is upon the earth. That's a natural record. All right, but for that name to be in the book of life, it meant it would have to be down here. That's why I'm so pleased to know the message of the hour like the other day, a person was telling my wife that they had a baby and she miscarried. The woman did it 5 or 6 months or something. And he just cried like everything. Well, that's fine. I'm not throwing off on him. I'm just saying, see, he said, we'll see that in heaven. Said, we named it. Well, I'm so glad the prophet explained that that's not a living creature, a soul in that until it's dropped from the mother's womb and receives life into it as a living soul. He said, then it becomes a living soul. That will be in heaven, but not just because there's a body part there. See? Thank God for the truth is what I'm saying. Because he said the truth shall set you free. All right. Now look. Now first, God spoke it or wrote it, either way you want to say it. Because when I say speak or think, remember what I'm saying now. When I say God thought of something and God spoke that or God wrote that, I'm saying that's the same thing. So don't try to figure it all out. You know, I'm talking about the same thing there. I'm talking about when he thought it, it was as well as written because he didn't write it down. See? His thoughts was enough. So when he thought it, when he spoke it, and I know that he thought something and he spoke a word. I know all about that. But just remember, the world was in existence before that was saying, let there be. Because it was in existence in God. Because where did it come from? That's how eternal I'm talking about, see. See, why can't we have a positive attitude about what God has said? About us. Read the Bible not as a book of rules or something that you're trying to find, but read it speaking to yourself.
That's right.
To see yourself in the Bible.
Because
that's who it's speaking to. All right. See, the Bible sure shows all that would happen upon the earth. All right. The Bible that we have, I like other translations and things, but the King James Version is the one I like because I believe it's the Word of God, the way God wanted it brought to us. All right. But it was to prove that, it was the one the prophet used for God to vindicate. So that's, that settles it. I got a double confirmation right there, see. Because I can believe it as being God's Word, and he can handle his Word and keep it, and made the Catholic Church keep it in what's called the Latin Vulgate, and make them pass it down to us, made them bring it in their own, which is contrary to them. Made them preserve it to where we'd have it. That's a double thing to me, see. All right, now get what I'm saying then. The Bible shows all. Moses wrote of Genesis, the creation, etc. Right. See, the book of Revelation goes all the way on to the future home. All right? Now, so everything and everybody. See? Even though natural people, there was Judas, Hitler's, the different ones, any names you'd want to bring, they're there as natural records. But it's while the seed singular, which is Christ, is made manifest down through the time of the Bible. You understand it? So then the Bible shows all that would ever take place upon earth. But that didn't mean it was done. It meant it was done in God. In his thinking it was settled, and that was the same as it being done. But he had to wait until it could come upon earth and be made manifest. Now, right. Now, see, he first sees it, and then he speaks it, and when he speaks it, it must come to pass. Alright? Now, you remember last week I was talking about it, the point I was trying to bring a moment ago, that in God all things are past tense. Now, I'll get to that this evening and try to explain it a little bit more, and maybe you'll understand, because I'll say it this way. A past tense form to God is a present tense. You understand? Because if he can't change it, because see, I am means ever present for eternity. So when he said that to Moses, see, then that's ever present. So God's always been present with us, and that's why I love him like I do. Because when I found out the message the prophet brought, he said God didn't just bring us into existence and throw us out and forget about it. He said he come down through time living with us.
Amen.
You know, the prophet even said he wanted to make sure that Moses was the right man because he didn't want to get over there to the Red Sea and find out he'd messed up and got the wrong person. That's your prophet. I'm quoting him. That doesn't mean God doesn't know. Who did he want to know? He wanted Moses to know who was the right man. Right? So he had to let him go through things to find out who the choice. Job, God knew exactly what Job was going to do, but God had to let Job know what he's going to do. Because see, it's finished in God, and see, all things is in a past tense. Alright? Everything's finished, it's in a past tense. Then let's go to Romans 8 now, and we'll get that scripture and try to cover the point of what I might want you to see of the two things. Romans 8, verse 30. Let's just go back up to 28, and then we'll pick up verse 30. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are thee called according to his purpose. I forgot my briefcase this morning. Got everything loaded in the car, got to church, didn't have my briefcase. You know, with my Bible and all the notes in it. And like Richard said, you could do without it, but I needed it. So I turned around and took off home, thinking all the way down there, man, that's something. You mess up, you know, you get everything right except that, and you forget your Bible. And coming back up the road, I thought, well, you know, the Bible says all things work together for good. I ran up behind this pickup truck. You know, he was clucking along, you know, and I just rode behind him because I knew who it was. It was my nephew. You know, he built houses and things, and I'd asked him here a while back about putting a roof over the back of part of my house for me and tin on it and things like that. And so I run up behind him. I tooted the horn, and he just pulled off the side, and I stopped. I said, hey, when are you going to get over? See, I had to go home to find out, because if I didn't know it, he said, I only got 1 week. And he said, in 2 weeks, I'll be ready. He said, I done forgot about it. All right, well, see, all things do work together, even though you're forgetful, because that comes with 66. I mean, that's the package. But yet God uses it, you know, to help us all. But that's all things work together. All right. But now listen. For whom he did foreknow. Now watch this now. Whom he did foreknow means to know before. Right? Foreknow means to know before. Now I've explained it back there. We don't believe in that, you know, like there's a lot of people in the message, they can believe what they want to. But I believe God foreknew all things and predestinates by his foreknowledge. I believe that away. Not that I was this and I was that. That's all right. That's all right. You may think I believe some of those things, but just listen. All right. For whom he did foreknow, before knew, he also did predestinate, which meant from destiny, the prophet says determined, because that's what the word predestinate means. It means you're sitting here looking out over the best word for predestination is you're looking out over a great thing, and you know, with unlimited eyesight, and you're seeing something that comes from here to there. As Einstein said it in his teaching, that he said if you had unlimited eyesight and you looked straight out, he said, you know what you'd see? The back of your head. He said, because everything went in a circle. All right. See, because the Bible sees correct. All right, watch it now. For whom he did foreknow, those he knew before, he also did predestinate. He looked down, seen the end of the destiny, and what did he predestinate them to do? To be conformed. E-D, conformed. Now that word conformed, E-D there, is in a past tense, right? I mean, I'm not an English major, but we got a little sense. Right? Now what did he do? He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now what? Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, E-D, it's done, past tense, and whom he called, past tense, them he also justified, past tense, and whom he justified, past tense, them he also glorified, past tense. So God before the world looked down and saw his seed, his children, seeing you choose to accept him as your Savior. All right? And when he did, see, he could put an, he could already write the book of Revelations, which is the indeterminate factor. You know? All right? See, everything's done back there. And what you're seeing is, see, even though it's done back there, you got to wait to a present tense.
Right.
See, because you're dealing with what God sees.
That's right.
We're dealing with what we see.
Come on.
But what we see has got to catch up with what he saw.
Right.
Right?
Right?
Now, when that happens, there won't be no gravity.
Come on. Amen.
All right? Because it's already been proven by the soul. All right? Now, watch. I gave you a bunch of quotes from Brother Branham, so let's just pick out a few of them and read them. And I wish sometime that you would just take the words and run it into your computer and run in justified and glorified in your computer and just see how many times Brother Branham spoke these things of this specific scripture. Those who he justified, he's already glorified. I wish you'd just run that in sometimes and just read what you're seeing. All right, look down at number 3 on your notes. Israel at the Red Sea. Reads 1953. I'll just try to read a few of these because I want you to see what he's saying. Notice 3 stages: justification by faith, sanctification through the blood, baptism of the Holy Spirit, then perfection, glorified. The Bible said, those who he justified, this is to the spiritual mind. Now watch it. This is to the spiritual mind. He also glorified. Is that right? He who he justified, then if he justified us now, we're already glorified in his state.
Right.
Not he. He will. See? Not that he. It's already done. See?
Right.
He hath glorified.
Right.
Say, that's deep, isn't it? But it's what the scripture says.
That's right. Amen.
See? I like to give them out to the people and let them read. Now, paragraph 28 of the same message, which is number 4, you know. God has already glorified his church. Those whom he justified, he also glorified in the church in Christ. If you're justified in Christ, you're glorified in Christ already as far as God is concerned.
Right.
Now see, as far as God is concerned. All right. Jesus said, be ye therefore perfect even as your Father in heaven is perfect. How could you ever be perfect? But in the sight of God tonight, ever born again Christian is perfect.
Right.
I'm just as perfect in God as Christ was.
See?
You are too, ever other believer, for it's not my holiness, it's his holiness.
Right.
God can't accept mine. I have none. But I come in Christ by faith, and by Christ I'm in him and perfect in the sight of God.
Right.
Go on down. Israel at Kadesh Barnea, 53:0-328. Read the last paragraph just to save time. Those who he justified, those whom he called, he justified. Is that right? And those who he justified, he glorified. Is that right? Then, brother, in heaven, we're already glorified together with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That's right. Just let the devil squeal and squirm. Have all his tantrums he wants. Thus saith the Lord. That's right. Oh, my. Now, he said it's right. Thus saith the Lord. We're already in. All right. I left the next one off, but go ahead and read it. Choice the Father. I mean, didn't put a number on it. 1953, 907. Don't resent that. That's the truth. The rapture is in us now. Listen. Now watch what he says. Now he says the rapture's in us now. I will prove it by the gospel.
Amen.
Now how's he going to prove the rapture's in you? By the gospel. Now what gospel does he go to? Read it. Don't resent that. Look what he said. That's the truth. The rapture is in us now. I will prove it by the gospel. Now here's the gospel. Here's the scripture. Those whom he called, he justified, and whom he justified, he hath glorified. Hallelujah. Then in heaven today, we're glorified in the presence of God right now. I'm just pushing out to it. See, we're just here. We're going to it. Amen. God's word. Glory. God's in his word. You believe it? All right. Look at the next one. Questions and answers in Jeffersonville. 54, 103 in the morning. Up down to the bottom, because you can get all the other. That's why I give you the whole thing for you to read it, and you'll know I'm not trying to pick it out, but to save time. Jesus said that, our scripture says that, or the writers, Paul, he said, those whom he justified, he hath already glorified. Those whom he foreordained, he predestinated. Those whom he predestinated, he justified. Those whom he justified, he has already glorified. What is it? Oh, my, he says, excuse me, already glorified. Then if we are filled with the Holy Ghost, our fiber and our beings has already been preserved in God. Now listen to it. Now remember what I said over there, the one I just read, he said the rapture's in you. Now watch what he's saying. Our fibers and beings has already been preserved in God. There is a glorified body already waiting. And you have to go to it as soon as this is over. Those whom he justified, he's already glorified.
Right.
Now listen to it. Go on down to the next one. Just keep reading. Questions and answers. This is the same message, but it's paragraph 102. That was paragraph 76. Just think. Your glorified body's right here at the tabernacle now. I guess according to the doctrines of the message, I wasn't sitting in the tabernacle when he said that, so it must not be true. Now, that's not positive.
Right.
You know, that's what the people of the message say. You understand what I'm saying? That Brother Ram didn't say that. I'm just saying that's what people of the message say. They say, if you wasn't sitting there, you know, no. Your glorified body's right here at the tabernacle now. The presence of the Holy Spirit, which is your glorified condition. Now, did you catch that?
Right.
The Holy Spirit is your glorified condition.
Amen.
You're glorified in Christ right now. So in our soul, it's totally glorified.
Right.
All right. Now, the body, see, it has to be glorified. Why? Because the soul is glorified.
That's right.
If Jesus spoke it, it's got to happen, remember?
All right.
So if he give you the new birth, you mean you're not going to get your body glorified? And I don't believe in getting a new body now. I believe the same one that's dropped. If I drop this piece of paper, you pick it up, and the prophet said resurrection is not replacement. I believe that this body is going to be redeemed.
Amen.
All right? See, it's already being worked on.
Amen.
Why would we throw it away and get a new one like you're saying in the message? I just don't agree with it. I'm sorry. But listen, church. Watch what he says. Those whom he justified, he glorified. And your own glorified body is standing near you right now in Christ Jesus. Now what's it doing? To give to you a strength like a charge going into a battery.
Amen.
Now that's your negatives. That's your positive I was talking about a while ago. That's your pulling power. The Holy Spirit's in you is to charge your body to give you new strength to heal you from the sickness that you got to make you well.
Amen.
Now see, your resurrection is already in you.
Right.
Your rapture is already in you. The healer is already in you.
Amen.
But the thing that we need to do is start making the positive statement about where it is.
That's right.
Oh, one of these days now, brother, we're going up to heaven. It's about time we get away from what Mama taught us. And I'm not contrary to that. I love my mother. You know. But it's about time to get away from that to get down to what the Word says. What they said was for their day and their time. They didn't understand, but now we have the truth. The prophet is telling you that your glorified body is right here with you. All right, go to questions and answers book. I know it's a conduct, order, and doctrine book, but I can't remember the page in the book, but it's questions and answers on book 3, conduct, order, and doctrine, page 195, 196. He said your glorified body is built around your born-again experience.
Amen.
He said just like it was with Abraham and Sarah.
Amen.
Your glorified body is built around your born-again. That's what the stature of a perfect man is working on.
Amen.
It's working out through your spirit to control your body. And one day when it's all brought under complete control, then it will just have to walk right into eternity.
Right. Amen.
See? Because we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye.
Amen.
Right. See, in that way, then, your glorified body is right here.
Come on.
Not somewhere else.
Come on.
See, because that way, you're already justified. Now remember the story or the illustration I gave. The Bible says that Jesus Christ stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. In God that was completed and done. But they had to wait till an earthly element of time come of a human man called Jesus Christ, a body, and all of that had to happen to the body and he had to be hung on a tree. But it made that manifest here what was manifest there. Now remember about 10 years ago, I preached a series called Matching Pieces. When we come to the place, we don't have to match Revelations 2 verse 1, because that would be about Paul in the first church age. They matched that, and when they did, they went to glory. But we've got to go to Revelations 3:14, over to about 21:22, or what it goes in there, to where that we come to a place that you and I fulfill the scriptures.
Amen.
Exactly as to what God says we are.
Amen.
And that's not something to where say, okay, now Brother Dick, you've been goofing up a lot lately. Let me get me a belt and straighten you up. That won't work. That won't straighten nobody up. I just give him a bunch of knocks and he'll be madder than the hornet at me. That won't straighten up nothing. But it's when the revealed Word can come down into our heart and change us from the inside by the Word that's revealed to us until we become what He says we are. Then when we become what He says we are, then that's when we stand there and confess it to be. But see, we're trying to bring a human perfection upon the elements to try to make a rapture. That's why I conned that phrase where you know, because some of you maybe heard of Arkansas legalism. They preach the message of saying, and the brothers and them might come from there, and if I hit it, I'm sorry, I just don't agree. But the message they preach is your wife worthy of the gospel. In other words, when you get your wife straightened up, we're going in rapture. Well, who's going to take the man? Yeah. Getting the wife straightened up might put her in a rapture. Well, what's going to put me and you in? Us men. But see, church, I'm not throwing no stones at nobody. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. We've got to get down to believe what God says about us. When He says you're perfect, then we need to say we're perfect. But that's what people say. Well, in a way. Come on. Right? You'll say, well, in a way. No, the prophet said there is no such thing as a way. I'll give you a whole lot more quotes. You read them. He says no such thing as saying in a way. We're either perfect or not perfect. If we're in Christ, we're perfect.
Amen.
If we're not in Christ, we're not perfect.
Right.
There is no gray area in between.
Come on, right.
What makes us perfect? What God said.
Right.
Because He had to provide a way.
Amen.
That's what your prophet said when he read Matthew 5:48. He said, be therefore perfect, even your Father in heaven is perfect. He said, if he required it, he's got to make a way. And said he did through his own blood.
Amen.
He made a way that you and I can stand perfect in him.
Amen.
The price paid to where that we can stand. But see, we know the whole story. We're not just so heavenly minded we're no earthly good, or earthly minded and have no heavenly good. We've got to have a knowing that, sure, before the world God saw it, but there's a reality upon the earth. Before the world, he saw the world come to a position under Armageddon and Gog and Magog until it would annihilate the whole system of what's called the world, but not the core of the earth, because we're going to live right here. All right? He saw that. That's got to take place. But listen, why can't we believe what the Bible says? We'll get to it this evening, Isaiah 53. Why can't we believe what the Word says about it?
Amen.
Read your Bible the way that I'm trying to get you to read it. It's already a past tense form. God come down to Moses and said, Moses, or was it Joshua, which one? Standing at the bush, and he said, when you heard the going in the mulberry bush, go up, because the battle's the Lord's. The battle was over. Sure, it took Moses or them people a long time to finish out the natural, but as far as God was concerned, that's what I said. He's a wonderful God. When he said it before the world, he could go somewhere and sit down and forget it because it's already done.
Right.
But he didn't do it.
Amen.
He didn't do that. He come down to live with us.
Amen.
He's here now.
That's right.
To live with you and I.
Amen.
How's he going to bring a rapture? He's here to make it take place.
That's right. Amen.
Through the word that's being revealed to you and I, we come to a positive attitude. To say what God says about me, Sister Gail, not what I say. What I say ain't no good. I can say Sister Gail's perfect. Well, that don't mean she's perfect at all. That means what I think. Come on. That means what I think. Because I'm dealing with what I look at. But God ain't dealing with what he looks at. He's dealing with what he said. He said we're perfect. Well, I just don't see how we can see that. That's negative. You could at least say, God said I'm perfect. Let me say what he said.
Right.
It's the same thing to get your healing.
That's right.
By his stripes, I am healed.
Right.
Let me say that. And don't write on my tombstone. If I go down, don't write on my tombstone, he died with his boots on. Don't write no junk on my tombstone. Write down there, he died in faith, and he'll see you in the resurrection.
Right. Amen.
Why? Because at least we can be positive about it.
Right.
I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me.
Amen.
We sit down on our good-for-nothings and sit around and blame everybody else for everything.
Oh, my.
Well, if I could get Aaron straightened up, we'd be all right. No. It's when I get straightened up. I was listening to one the other day where the prophet was talking about a quote man was reading from him, talking about what he said. He said, you quit looking at people. He said, you pray for them. He said, if you pray for them, you'll find out it don't look too bad. Now, that's just paraphrasing, but it's close. I can find you the statement. Don't look at somebody, Brother Danny, to try to find out all of our faults and failures. Look at what God has said about me and you. Don't worry about it. He'll handle me. He'll take care of this out here. He'll whip me into condition if I need to be whipped into condition. But just because you get sick doesn't mean you got a whipping. If it is, you getting old make you, you'd be in bad shape because all of us are getting older. Yeah. Right?
Right?
See, don't go away with silly things. Be positive.
Amen.
You go down to one of these places, you know, that they're having these great speeches. And I remember hearing of one time, and a man got up talking about how much money could be made in Amway or something, you know. all of the things, and he was a motivational speaker. And you know, before it was over, he had them people hollering, money, money, money. Yeah. I mean, it was all screaming money. Well, you know what happened? Probably about 75% of them got out and made money. The others went home with a hoarse throat. You know, sore throat. But a big portion of those people went out and made money. Why? Because it's positive. I mean, you take a vacuum cleaner down to somebody's house, you know, and you say, I'm going to sell you a vacuum cleaner, but it ain't no good. Now, how many are you going to sell? Well, how come in the gospel we can't say what God says? He says, I'm perfect. But Brother Dale, I see your faults. That's the problem. You see my faults in faith. And the problem is you're not praying for me. Because if that's just what I just quoted. If you're praying for me, I can't see Aaron's faults. Hey, come on, I stepped on his toes up here one day with a brand new pair of shoes. It'll straighten a point, you know. Because I do that a lot of times, just say, but I can see Aaron's faults and failures. All of us can see each other's faults and failures. But you know what? If I'm praying for him, after a while I find out I just love him, and he didn't mean to do that, Lord. Have you ever changed your prayers? You ever started out praying against somebody? Lord, I think you ought to wipe them off. You know, you ought to whamp them a little bit. You ought to beat them up just a little bit anyway, Lord. You won't let me do it, so you go ahead and do it. Then you keep praying, night a while you say, but Lord, I love them. Then night a while you say, well, Lord, you know, that wasn't quite as bad as I thought it was. Night a while you say, well, I got more faults than he's got. See, prayer changes things. But saying what God said is what we need to do, because he's already said it before the world. I'm just standing here today trying to transmit that thought down to you that was before the world, that says you're perfect, that you're justified, you're already glorified. Well, then I'll go out and live like the devil. See, you don't know what I'm talking about. You done proved you're not born again. You done proved that you're not glorified. You done proved that you're not justified when you talk like that. Because then everything's transmitted down to me to show what a sinful human mortal I am. Come on, baby. And to know that I must try to bring this thing under subjection to the spirit that's within me. And our old saying is, it's a good old saying, you know, if you don't put a cigarette in your mouth, you ain't going to smoke. I mean, they can sell them all over the world. You don't put one in your mouth, you ain't smoking. So we could stop a lot of things ourselves. You know, right? We could stop a lot of things ourselves, but he's not doing it. Well, where are we? Let's stand.
Let's try the Word of God. Amen by that.
You have a need, the altar's open. Just come and let's believe. But let's believe positive. Like I tell you, I come up here and I preach hard, positive attitude. Go outside, walk around through the crowd. How y'all doing? Well, I'm going to the doctor tomorrow. Doctor says I'm sick. Well, that's why you're sick. Our visitors don't know me well enough to know my statement of what it is, but this church knows it. You call me at 2:00 in the morning, me dying from hurting or whatever, and you say, how you doing, Brother Dale? I'm doing great. So my wife even gets on to me, and I go in the doctor's office, me hurting with something, my back out of condition. She said, go in there and tell them how bad you are. I go in the doctor and say, how you doing? I'm doing great. My back's messed up, but I'm doing great, Doc. When are we going to be positive about it? You know, the things that Job feared is what came upon him. That your prophet said it, said the things you fear will come upon you. So don't confess them. Say, I'm healed. Down from God's own heart, the word of God in Word of God ever true, changing me, changing you. We have come with open heart, the Word of God. One more time before we go. God never could. Changing me. Change. Already done.
We have come with open arms. The word of God.
Remember, the service is 2 o'clock this afternoon. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace, and we pray you'd bless us now as we go, and Father, and bring us back together this afternoon in your love. We love you and we thank you. Thank you for bringing our brothers and sisters along to be with us today, and we pray that something's been said that they would go away saying, well, there's one thing about it, the man wants to be positive, because that's what I want to be, Lord, is to say what you say about me, not what I say. And Lord, just have your way now. Forgive our sins in Jesus' name. You dismissed.